أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, our sustainer. I bear witness that there is none worthy of worship in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the faithful servant and the last Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's peace, mercy and blessings be upon him, his family, his companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless them. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless each and every single one of us. Ameen. Honorable ulama'i kiram, respected elders, mothers, fathers, brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala ali nabiyyina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Our brothers, peace, if you can come. Forward, fill up the first half. Come forward, please, brothers. Come. Come, brothers, don't feel shy. There is lots and lots of barakah in the first half, the second half. So whenever you come to the masjid, you come to the first half is full, you go to the next one. That's how we, subhanAllah. This is the sunnah way of making the safs. SubhanAllah. And it also it brings unity amongst ourselves. You know, sitting shoulder to shoulder, reading salah shoulder to shoulder, it brings muhabbah and unity amongst ourselves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Ameen. My brothers and sisters in Islam, as we all know, we are still in the month of Rabi'ul Awwal. So I've decided to talk about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as this is the month of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At the time of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or just prior to his time sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we take a look at the Arabian Peninsula, right, the Arabs, they worshipped idols. So much so that they made idols out of stones. They made idols out of stones. And when they found a better stone, they would throw away what they used to worship for so many years. When they found they used to worship idols made of stones, and when they found a better one, right, they would throw that stone that they used to worship for so many years, they would throw it away and get another one. SubhanAllah. And when they had a problem, the Arabs, right? When they had a problem, they would go to someone who had a bigger stone. When they had a big problem, they would go to someone who had a bigger stone to say, hang on, you know what? Can I borrow your God? Because I've got an issue. A big problem. Allahu Akbar. SubhanAllah. Imagine the brains of the people. SubhanAllah. And Umar bin Khattab, Umar, we all know Umar, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he actually says, as intelligent as he was, we know him, SubhanAllah. So he says, we made a God, right, out of dates. And he says, you know what, we could shape it up much more easily than a stone, subhanAllah. So he says, so we shaped it up, subhanAllah, and it was so nice. So he says, so one day I was very hungry, asking the gods for food. So there was no food. So what happened? He ate the god. So this was the type of mentality around, subhanAllah, the darkness, right? They believed in superstitions, subhanAllah. See something and they believed it. Or if this happens, then it means that that will happen, subhanallah. If this, and if that happens, then this will happen, subhanallah. If this happens, then that will happen. If you see a cinnamon, then that, subhanallah. Right? So, and if someone is having, what you call it, hiccups, then another person is remembering them. That was, and so on, subhanallah. And this had all come from that particular time. And for your information, to this day, subhanallah, some of us are guilty of believing in some of those, what you call it, superstitious items. There are those who believe that when a person passes away, right, when a person dies, he passes away, they believe that he reappears, right, in the form of, right, either a bird or a snake, depending on how the person lived his life, depending on the deeds, subhanallah. So I remember his sister is telling me that, you know what, a family member passed away. So one day she was standing, you know, that looking through the window, and she saw a dove sitting in the branches of a tree, and she said, hey, this must be that person. So they got this, all these kind of superstition beliefs, subhanallah. Up to this, these people, they still believe in that, all these kind of things. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. Ameen. And so thereafter, if you look at one of the habits, the Arabs, subhanallah, they used to visit the fortune tellers. Anything happens, they went to the fortune teller and they let him solve their matter. And those fortune tellers, they were powerful in the sense that they knew how to study the lives of people, subhanallah. And they had contact with the spirits. You know, contact with the spirits, contact with the jinn, it's not impossible. You know, people, they do communicate with the jinn. It happened. They do communicate with, you know, the sangomas, the singers, I don't know what you call them. So they do communicate with the jinn. It's happening, subhanallah. And it comes in a hadith also that the companions, they went to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they said, but sometimes these people, they're speaking the truth. They say things and it actually happens, subhanallah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, they mix it with other 100 lies. You mustn't believe in them, subhanallah. So whatever it is, they mix it with 100 lies, subhanallah. And in another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, whoever visits a fortune teller, subhanallah, whoever visits a fortune teller and believes whatever he says, subhanallah, then he is out of the fold of Islam. All his good deeds are gone, and he has to repeat the shahada again. You have to repeat the shahada. You go to a fortune teller and whatever he says and you believe in it, all your good deeds are gone and you are no longer a Muslim. You will have to repeat the shahada. That's how serious it is. It is an authentic hadith, subhanallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, and people, they don't know these things, subhanallah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to recite verses of the Quran. You see, like Ayatul Kursi and the last verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. Lillahi ma fi samawati wa ma fi al-ard, subhanallah. And the last two surahs of the Quran. Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq. قل أعوذ برب الناس المعوذتين سبحان الله. You must read these surahs. You can read these surahs every after Fard Salah. You read قل أعوذ برب الفلق قل أعوذ برب الناس أزل الكرسي سبحان الله. These are powerful surahs. We should be read every mornings and evenings with the intention of dua and protection, سبحان الله. They will protect us, سبحان الله. And then you find one of the habits they had, the Arabs, at that time, subhanallah, they did not believe in the life after death. Right? They would say, "May yuhi al-'idham wa hiya ramim." Who is going to give life to these bones after they are decomposed completely? And like dust, they become. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Qul yuhyiha alladhi ansha'aha awwala marrah." Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say, oh Muhammad, he will give, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give those bones life. Subhanallah. Who gave them the life in the first place? Who Who gave them? Subhanallah. So for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to create man in the first place, to resurrect him is even more easier. Subhanallah. You know, if you have no mouth to give you this example, right? You know, if you have no BMW, and if you were to make one, you are far more a genius than the one who just pinned the damaged BMW. Subhanallah. Simple logic. Simple. This is just to make you understand. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a deeper understanding. Subhanallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created us. To resurrect him, it's much more easier than him. Subhanallah. And obviously, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْعَالَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a far higher example than that. Subhanallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of how when they were in difficulty, the Arabs, right? They didn't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when they were in difficulty, subhanallah, they left their gods. They left their gods. And they called out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, who created them. Whoever made me, I'm calling out to them, to him, subhanallah. Whoever made me, my creator, I'm calling out to him, subhanallah. That was when they had a problem, when they had difficulties. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا رَكِبُوا فِي الْفُلْكِ دَعَوُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ فَلَمَّا نَجَّاهُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ إِذَا هُمْ يُشْرِكُونَ. Subhanallah. Powerful verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and when they were on the ship, and the ship rocks a little bit, subhanallah. You know when you are in the sea, right? And you are in the middle and there is these huge waves coming and your life is in danger, subhanallah. They called out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ, with such sincerity, ikhlas, subhanallah. You know when you are flying, subhanallah, you are in a plane, subhanallah, and the plane starts to, subhanallah, what happens? You hold into your seat, subhanallah, you make the dua. That dua is coming from you know that you are in danger, subhanallah. So that dua, it comes from with such sincerity. So, oh ya Allah, I promise you, if you save me, I'm going to worship you, subhanallah. Subhanallah. As soon as they come back, what will happen? They would immediately, subhanallah, start engaging in their polytheism once again, worshipping the other false gods besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what we do to this day, subhanallah. When things are going laka, what happens to us, subhanallah? We doing the nonsense, not worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We think that we on top of the game, subhanallah. You do all the type of, but when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts you, he gives you test, trials, hardship, what happens, subhanallah? You come back to salah. You come into the masjid, subhanallah. Some they even commit kufr. I've seen people, I've heard people, subhanallah, they complain, hey, but why be, why? Subhanallah. So meaning they like certain quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when Allah is giving them. But when Allah tests them, takes something from them, they don't like it. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding, subhanallah. So whenever we are in difficulty, that's when we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It mustn't be like that. Mustn't be like that. Subhanallah. A true mu'min, they mustn't do like that. Subhanallah. They say amazing are the affairs of a believer. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. All the conditions are good for him. When he is enjoying good life, subhanallah, he is grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and it's good for him. And when he is in difficulty, subhanallah, he practices sabr. He is sabr and it's good for him too. Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. And then as for the politics, we go back to what I was talking about. As for the politics at that particular time, the Arabs, subhanallah, people were divided into two major groups. Subhanallah. You find the people of the Badia, the people of the desert, and the people of the cities, subhanallah. And to this day, you find those, mashallah, those who are living in smaller towns, subhanallah, they have far greater hearts, subhanallah. They have greater qualities than those who are living in the city, subhanallah, who don't even have time to greet you. Who don't even have time to be hospitable, May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our hearts pure at all times. Amen. So they were divided into two groups. So they had those in the city and people out in the desert, in the rural area, so to speak. But they had something in common, the Arabs. They were divided into two, and they had something in common. Very strong lineage, subhanAllah. They were divided into tribes, families, subhanAllah. And they literally stood up for one another. They would actually fight the other tribe because of a problem that it had with one particular person. Right? One camel goes missing, for example, and they doubted those people. Or someone was caught. Right? What happens? The war lasted 40 years. People died, subhanAllah. Subhanallah. And the next generation did not even know why they were fighting. But they continued fighting, subhanAllah. This was the type of qabaliyya they had. They had this tribalism. Sometimes it was used for the good and sometimes it was used for bad. Subhanallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them by sending the message. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He blessed them by sending Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But if we take a look at the leadership of these clans, was always with a certain type of person and family. And usually it fell from the father to child or to a relative and so on. And this was the way they led. So the leader, the chief, and when he died, his son took over. Or a relative took over. But there was something that could raise a person from nothing. What was that? If someone's level was low, they just had to come up with some poetry, which was very powerful linguistically and full of meaning, that it would instantly raise the rank of that individual, sometimes to a point of leadership. Subhanallah. Why? Because they were so crazy about eloquence. They were so crazy, subhanallah. They were the most powerful people when it came to speech. In fact, they were unlettered. The bulk of them, almost 100% of them, they could not read or write, subhanallah. But they were, linguistically, they were very powerful. They hardly used slang. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he grew up, he never ever used slang. He was always the most powerful. It is reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he never ever made a linguistic error in his life. Subhanallah. Nothing. Subhanallah. That was his gift by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why later on we see how they looked at him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they listened to him, subhanallah, and they were mesmerized by what he said, subhanallah, completely shocked. They were shocked, subhanallah, so much so that later on the Arabic language began to take its rules and correct itself through the Quran, subhanallah, subhanallah, because that was what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with, subhanallah. Up to this day, the kuffar, the Christian Arabs, subhanAllah, and those who are non-Muslims from amongst the Arabs, they still use the Quran when it comes to linguistics in order to correct their language and to explain to you what is right and what is wrong, subhanAllah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gave them a gift by sending Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to remove them from the darkness of what? Ignorance of jahiliyyah, and to make them spend in the cause and in a good cause, subhanAllah. So these people, the Arabs, subhanAllah, they used to worship idols through the mornings and the evenings. And the other thing, they used to marry in a very strange way. You know marriage? Subhanallah. They used to get married in a very strange way, subhanallah. So a man owed another man money. You know some money? Subhanallah. So he would take his wife, subhanallah, and he would say, right, you can have my wife, subhanallah. You can make her pregnant, subhanallah. And when she's pregnant, Subhanallah, you send her back to me, that child will hold your name. Na'udhu billah. This is what they used to do. They didn't value women. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Imagine that. Imagine what type of ignorance is this. Subhanallah. And whenever one of them was informed of a female child, their faces were blackened. Subhanallah. And they would become very angry. And they would want to hide behind the walls. Subhanallah. Because of the bad news that they just received. Subhanallah. And they would take the child and they'll bury her alive. Na'udhu billah. This is what they used to do. The Arabs. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. May He guide us to be true guides to our own children, although we ourselves need guidance. Subhanallah. So this was the condition of the people of the pre-Islamic era. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never ever return us to that. It happened to them. It did happen to them, and it's repeating itself with us, but in a different way. Subhanallah. You know, people are calling women folk that, you know what, it's very interesting. What's interesting? Subhanallah. What's interesting in that? Wallahi, subhanallah, you get no way. No way do you get with that, subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed us from darkness by sending Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. When Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, those same people, those wicked people, we call them wicked of that time, subhanallah, they became the best of the ummah. Subhanallah. Up to today, we say, when you hear about Abu Bakr, you hear about Umar, you hear about Abdurrahman bin Auf, and all the sahabas, what do we say? Radiyallahu anhum. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with them. Allah was pleased with them, subhanallah. They became the best of the ummah. Subhanallah. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, he changed them. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, if you follow any one of my sahaba, you will be rightly guided. Subhanallah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this was the condition of the ummah, of the people of the Arabian Peninsula that time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard our iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us steadfast on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. Ameen. And inshallah, this is a long topic. Inshallah, next week I'll continue from there. Inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. Subhanallah wa bihamdi. Subhanaka wa bihamdika. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khair to Imam Tayyib for the Jummah discourse. Brothers, alhamdulillah, amongst us, at least this Jummah, we have Brother Iqbal present with us. Although he is not in good health, but we keep making dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him complete shifa. Brothers and sisters, you have noticed the masjid exterior is repainted. The reason for this is that we have a sponsor for the paint for the entire exterior, and alhamdulillah it has been a branded paint that's Dulux that is being used at the moment. The trustees decided that we go with 80 colors, and you know, you could see that some of the colors are already on the wall as a test color. So alhamdulillah, we hope in the next 4 to 6 weeks you will see a big difference in the masjid. The paint has been sponsored, and we make dua for the sponsor that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant barakah in his business and his home. The labor cost has been mentioned that is to be met by QIS, and trustees and their families have contributed approximately 30,000 rand towards the painting cost. We have a shortfall of about 20,000 rand. The duration of the job is between 4 to 6 weeks. We would appreciate the support from the musallis and their families towards our shortfall. And this is a sawab, a jariyah. So alhamdulillah, you know, anything that we do towards the masjid, it is Allah's house, and certainly we will benefit from that in this world and hereafter. Your contribution can go into the third safe. We have the third safe on my extreme right, and when you enter the masjid, it is on your extreme left. That is for donations for any activities that we may do. So that's a box, and we will have a label on that for painting project, and you can put your contributions in that. And inshallah, as the weeks go by, I will update you and assert to you the duration is between 4 to 6 weeks. So inshallah, you can make your contribution, which will assist us. The other important information I have here is that, please, this is a request, a humble request to all, please consider when you park your vehicles that you park properly and do not cause obstruction to the other brothers that may want to leave immediately after Salah. Jazakallah, you can now read your Sunnah.